Before we get rolling here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, we want to say a huge, huge thank you to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, the proud presenters of all of Ira's work on JoeBucksFan.com. Just fantastic. More than 70 years of Ed Morse delivering excellence in the community and also helping the community through their many charitable efforts. Of course, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, you can find them just west of I-275 on Fletcher. And Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, that's Brandon's only luxury dealership. Go to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com right now. The brand new May offers are just starting to roll out. Definitely want to start your search there, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. And the same goes for EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Both now have redesigned websites. I've seen them for the first time. Pretty darn cool. Very easy to find everything from their excellent pre-owned selection to all the great deals available for your 2017s and your 2016 Cadillacs and so much more. And of course, services at Ed Morse is top shelf. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Check them out today. So much thank yous to Ed Morse and to everyone who's blowing up Ira's podcast, taking it to an additional thousand and thousands each week. Keeps on growing. I know a lot of that's draft rage and excitement, but it's going to keep on going through the summer. Good Lord, what football season's going to bring come training camp. Bucks fans are so pumped up. Thursday, May 3rd on the Ira Kaufman podcast, featuring the custodian of Canton himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman. It's just great to say it again, Ira, because your podcast is about you, not about me, Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan, or Lee DeCamper. It's about you and extracting your feelings, your sage wisdom at every possible turn. That's what the podcast is about. And frankly, that's why Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon supports your podcast and all of your work, because you're a Hall of Fame writer, a Hall of Fame sage in the Bay Area. You're a Tampa Bay sports icon. You're someone people want to hold and hug and say is great.
And buy drinks for.
And I don't think that happens with your other colleagues when they, the once in a blue moon that they're out and about. I don't think they're beloved. I can say that you're beloved. And, of course, we're looking forward to your football season on Sirius Mad Dog Radio at 5 o'clock again. You'll probably get your spot. Hopefully you get a raise on Wednesdays. And you're on Spectrum Sports every Monday.
Caselius is calling me every other week. You never know. Florio.
You're a man in demand. And you know what? I've had people, Ira. People are saying, when's the third Ira podcast coming? I need Ira. I need more Ira.
I saw one guy said 40 minutes is too long, and followed by the next comment, it should be 2 hours. So I don't quite know what to make it. As long as you're calling me Ira and not Irv, I'm a happy man.
And as long as you're making more money, you're up for a third podcast, because you'll talk for cash all day long. Ira will talk for cash.
Well, just because I didn't reach into my pocket at Legends last week, Steven, that doesn't mean anything.
Kaufman says to himself, dollar a minute on the podcast, gentlemen, dollar a minute. Do whatever you want, dollar a minute. All right.
Ira, what do we got for today, Steven?
Everyone listening can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You get a nice alert to your iPhone. Lets you know the podcast is here. So you don't even have to think about it. You don't even have to go to JoeBucksFan.com if you can't stand me and Lee. So you have it out. You can also at Podbean.com, same thing. Your subscriber base is growing there, Ira. It's not as popular, but it's a great place to listen on a desktop, and you can get the same kind of alert. And there are other podcasting platforms that pick up your podcast as well. So those smart people are getting it done.
How am I ever going to catch the commish in terms of podcast listens? Steve, when you and I were out there last week and we saw the commish among his people, and the bond is unbreakable. How am I going to make all up right, any ground on him,
let
Steven?
Let me give a little facts for the folks at home. Look, Justin Pulowski, the commish, Bucks Uncensored, he's going 3 days a week. That helps. Helps when you're more often out there. You get gets you more popular faster. But Justin was doing a different kind of podcast for really 4 years. So he's been building. We're only 9 months in to this operation, and you're building. You're doing very well, Ira.
Do I have to use four-letter words, Steve? Is that what you're telling me?
Just keep doing what you're doing, Ira. It's all good. It's all good. No, you're not competing with the commish, but you're still, you and commish are still own the top 10 on iTunes, most popular Bucks podcasts. It's commish, Ira, episodes. They're battling it out, always in the top 10. I can't wait till the Buccaneers season comes back and you guys get to compete head-to-head with the Buccaneers Radio Network, who you actually beat on iTunes many, many times last year. And when you think about the fact that when they send out an audio and an announcement of stuff on their social media to roughly combined 1.8 million people. That gets some juice out there. And you're still able to top that.
The only four-letter word on my podcast, Steve, is going to continue to be bucks.
Food?
Bucks.
Free food.
Bucks.
That's too.
Not even cash?
Forget that free food. Forget that.
Not cash.
Bucks, baby. Bucks.
It's all about the bucks. And there's a lot we didn't touch on the draft in the last podcast, Ira. And my point of saying where to find it, go listen to Tuesday's podcast. We hit on the offense, deep into the running back decisions and all kinds of things. So, you know, that's not old. It's a fun podcast.
And
it's
a little
there for
stuff
right
about
now.
The party. Yeah, a little look back
at
the party.
Look back on Ira's doing shots and things that he hasn't done since 1938, right after Prohibition. So, Ira, Lee, defense, second round, Buccaneers. It's not sexy when a team drafts a safety. Some hardcores love it. And unless it's an Eric Berry type or a first-round guy, Mark Barron, people don't get as excited because it's a safety, you know? But the Bucs, second round, they drafted Justin Evans, safety. Not necessarily the pick everybody was looking at by any means. This kid comes in. And, Ira, your impressions, your thoughts of the position pick, the player, everybody wants to know what the hell you think. What do you think?
I'm going to say it right up front, Mr. DeKemper. I'm not mincing any words in this podcast.
Uh-oh.
I think this kid's going to start.
I think
this kid's going to start. With all due respect to Mr. Tandy, Mr. Conte, and Mr. Wilcox. Now, let's not forget, they brought in Wilcox. Mm-hmm.
J.J. Wilcox.
I don't think they take this kid at 50 if they don't look at him as an immediate starter.
Immediate, huh?
Now, I'm just personally speaking here, mm-hmm. and if, you know, I've been on this now for 4 days, and I'm going to stay on it. DeMarcus Walker, it's still bugging me.
It's
still bugging me because it's all about production.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid was incredibly productive at FSU, and all three of us saw a lot of Seminole games. Mm-hmm. Every time I'm watching the kid, he's got a guy on the ground or he's chasing the guy down.
He would usually take over games.
He had advanced rush skills.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times he was coming from the interior.
Yes, yes.
Now, I know he's a tweener, Lee, and I understand. I'm not a pro scout, and we haven't broken down every film of DeMarcus Walker. But we saw him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the opening game when FSU was dead in the water at
Ole
halftime.
Miss, yeah.
They were getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
Walker was an animal
in
the second half.
Mm-hmm.
He went crazy.
And you're right. Against good teams, he went crazy. Michigan, first half, animal. He went wild in the first
half. Steve, there were times he was unblockable. And I don't throw that
around. And you're right.
He was unblockable. But back to the safety pick. We all said going into the draft, safety was a position of need. There's no question about it. Tandy, Steve, with all due respect, he's been around 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We never noticed him in a positive way
mm-hmm.
Until last year and late last year.
Yeah.
I believe he had 4 picks in the final 5 games,
mm-hmm.
all 4 of them, including maybe 2 in the final game. And Conte, who made one of the biggest defensive plays of the year
mm-hmm.
at Arrowhead against
mm-hmm.
my beloved Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
You know, and Alex Smith doesn't throw a lot of picks.
And against the Bears.
You know,
had the
Bears.
Big play. But
the Chiefs game was game. That saved the game.
Yeah, of course.
And Wilcox is a hitter, but not known for coverage.
I'm just trying to give some Conte love for the Conte hate.
The Conte hate,
So, again, the 50th pick in the draft, in my opinion, in a position of need, Lee, I think the kid's got a good chance to start.
Well, I'll tell you some things I heard about safeties from some people in the know over at One Buck Palace. But first about Justin Evans. I don't know if anybody heard this, but Friday night when the pick was announced, they went straight, as NFL Network always does, went straight to Mayock for his input. Very first thing out of Mayock's mouth, the very first thing, this kid will hit you and he'll miss the tackle. And I almost fell backwards out of my chair at One Buck Place. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going back to the Lovie Smith era where guys are trying to blow people up and they can't tackle and they go 3 to 6 yards and get a first down.
You were thinking Deshaun Goldson. Here we go again.
I was just, oh my gosh, no. And that is an absolute pet peeve of mine because that is such a simple fundamental that just a little bit of work. You don't need it. Now, Pat Kerwin always rails about, Pat Kerwin of SiriusXM NFL Radio, former NFL executive, Jets, Bucks, you name it. He rails that there's not enough hitting in practices in the NFL, and that's why you're seeing sloppy play. To practice tackling, you don't need hitting. Offensive line, yes. You just need a tackling dummy, and it's a habit. Wrap up. It's a habit. And guys that don't do that, I'm telling you, Ira, that is my biggest pet peeve in football. And when I heard that, I'm like, oh, boy, I just hope they can teach this guy how to tackle. As far as safeties in general, someone who I trust and who's in the know over there, we went deep about safeties one time. I asked him about Conte. And I know Jason Light has said this on the record before. Conte is much maligned. very much like Donovan Smith.
He is.
He's a target for fans. And, of course, he goes after fans on Twitter. That doesn't help matters. I asked this person about Keith Tandy. I said, now, are we talking about the Keith Tandy before the quote-unquote communications fix or the Keith Tandy afterwards? And I was told, we think the Keith Tandy afterwards. Now, Steve and I come across something. We were still trying to flush it out. But the communications issue with the Bucs defense, a little more detailed than that. Hopefully we'll have something on that in the coming months.
There were fewer communication issues in the second half of the season.
That's right. Yeah. And notice that Candy. That's a combination of two. Candy. Yeah. But Tandy and Conte both significantly better play after that Atlanta game where this communications issue, quote unquote, came to a head. If that's correct, then that reinforced my contention that safety really wasn't a huge need.
Steve, could I argue that the second round pick fits into Cutter's quote badass philosophy?
Ah.
Could you suggest that, Steve?
I'm glad you brought up the badass one because it sounds fun, and two because it is something we should get to Cutter's comments on that. I'm even writing it down here, Ira. Badass.
And Steve is literally jotting it down on a piece of paper.
I wasn't lying.
The question is, can you be a big hitter in today's in the modern day of football, Steve?
Well, the answer is yes, but let me go back to what Lee said to add a little bit of more credibility to it. Not that it wasn't credible, but Mike Mayock, a lot of readers and NFL fans don't realize he was a defensive back in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He played in the NFL. That's his position. So he's a phenomenal job with his film study, his draft study, but that's a guy who played safety. He was a defensive back. So he knows what he's looking at with safety even more than he knows the other stuff. Look, if Mayock's saying this guy doesn't tackle well, he doesn't tackle well. Let's call it what it is. Yeah. And that's scary, you know, for a guy, especially when the angles are. We all remember what happened to the last second-round safety the Bucs drafted 10 years ago.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Savvy Piscatelli. Okay, Savvy the GOAT. Big hitter, bad angles, bad tackling, couldn't wrap up. And
last line of defense and couldn't get it done.
Got lost out there. And goodness, it was miserable. So fans are scarred, and I get that. Savvy, you know, lives. There were literally at the draft party last week, a week ago today, there were like three or four people wearing Piscatelli jerseys. I couldn't believe it.
Well, you can get them for $5, can't you?
I mean, I understand that they were cheap for a while at TJ Maxx, you know, on super clearance. But, man, to wear that thing in public? All right. But the badass. Dirk Cutter was asked by Jenna Lane at his post-draft news conference, what type of team are you looking to have now that you've been in charge for a couple of years and you've been here 3 years with the offense? What do you want this team to be?
He could have said anything.
He could have said anything. And Cutter's very smart, very calculated. He said, badass football team. How about that? Now, that was part joking with Jenna, poking her for asking a question like, come on, after a long day. But it was also a message to his team because Cutter's all about that messaging. He's very good with that. And this guy, Justin Evans, did they pick him because he's a badass? I certainly hope not. I hope not. So I'm going to say no. I mean, they want aggressive players.
Aggressive. I think that's what he meant. Aggressive.
But you know what? Every second-round pick that you take should be somebody who's aggressive. I mean,
You're not going to draft a guy who's passive.
Yeah, these are guys who are supposed to be legit NFL players near the middle of the second round. So I don't know. But, I mean, I hope they can get the tackling bug out of him. But maybe, just maybe. Maybe, I know fans are going to hate this, but maybe Mike Smith liked how his defense closed and helped them go 6-2 to finish the season. Yeah, they obviously like Wilcox, so they wouldn't have paid him $3 million a year to come here. You know, Tandy.
He's a hitter. Wilcox is also a hitter.
They re-signed Conte in free agency for the second consecutive year. Some people don't realize it's 2 years in a row he's been re-signed. And Tandy's a guy that's a late bloomer. Looks like he's a late bloomer, so I don't know if Evans has to start right away, but maybe he does.
Quick one about Evans. Wouldn't be surprised if he's returning kicks. He returned kicks at Texas A&M, and not all the time, but he returned some kicks, and he did well.
You know, guys, let's go back a few years. Not all that long ago, when it was the year that the Bucs gave up a 70% completion percentage, which I think was the last year of Lovie Smith.
Of course it was.
Should have been.
Yeah. And the three of us would see each other in the press box. I wasn't working for Joe Bucs fan at the time, Lee. And we would say, look how many yards off they're playing off these guys.
Yeah.
Passive was the word,
yeah.
Lee. The Verners of the world, passive. You know, Hargraves hadn't come aboard. Grimes wasn't here. They didn't have any hitters at safety. That's all got to change. That has to change. They made some strides last year. I think that 70% went down to what, 62, 63? It's a nice cut. It's a nice drop. Mm-hmm. But the big hits were far and few between. And when you look at the Seahawks with the Chancellors and the Earl Thomases, now these are elite players, but it shows you that it hasn't completely, physicality has not been taken totally out of the NFL. You can do it. Mm-hmm. So if this guy's half the player of Cam Chancellor, that's going to help.
Sure. Real quick about two of the guys who started for that heinous Lovey Smith defense in the secondary. One, Altron Werner, still looking for work. Number two, McDougald, you missed a free agent, is now buried on the Seattle depth chart.
Well said, my friend.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Seattle handles McDougald, because they they're very creative. You know, even just their pick.
He's certainly not a hitter, though, Steve. He doesn't fit into the hitting. I don't remember too many big hits.
But to Steve's point, Carroll's pretty sharp, but mixing and matching.
He drafted that Malik McDowell kid, uber talented guy that they thought wasn't very polished out of Michigan State on the D line, and Carroll's going to figure it out. He just does that with these guys.
Yeah, Cliff Averill, they thought he was washed up. And of course, we all know the Michael Bennett travesty here.
Yeah.
Real quick about Pete Carroll, Mr. Hall of Fame voter. Was he one stupid play call away from a Hall of Fame?
If he gets back into another Super Bowl, I think he's going to be a strong candidate.
Win or lose.
Win or lose. Steve, one more point.
But that stupid play, if they win that Super Bowl against the Belichick, he's probably in.
Yeah, he might be in because people are talking about Coughlin with his two rings, right now. Mm-hmm. Steve, one more point about the safety position for the Bucs. I think it's worth noting. I dare say, guys, if they were still playing primarily cover two, and if Monty Kiffin was still in charge of that defense, they wouldn't think twice about drafting this kid because he's not a good tackler. And, look, I don't want to look ahead. But Rondé Barber's eligible for the Hall of Fame in February, and if he does get in that room and I'm making that speech, one of the things, it's not the first thing, but one of the things I'm going to say is the guy was a ferocious tackler.
Excellent tackler. Open field, man.
And you could not play for that Buck defense. You could not. If you didn't wrap up well.
Exactly.
You could not.
That was
times has changed, Steve. And he would not have even been looked twice by that defense.
That was a cardinal sin with Monty Kiffin, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, look, tackling is tackling. And, of course, Rondé Barber entered the league in the era of three practices a day and double sessions at the University of Tampa, and where they actually, if a guy had some issues, they could really coach it and teach it, and he could hit people.
I don't want to rub it into Buck fans, Steve, but I think we'll all three of us agree. Run defense was lousy last year. Uniformly lousy. A lot of missed tackles.
Lousy.
Come on now, Wisbitz.
Come on
now,
Wisbitz. Lousy.
Get off the Buck payroll and then open your eyes over
there. It took
a
step down from Lovie Smith. When Lovey was here, they were much better at the run defense. I don't know if it was lousy, but it was much, much better. Yeah, actually.
I'm thinking individually because they all those missed tackles. You're talking yardage.
Yardage, yeah. The Bucs, I think, were the second best, allowed the second lowest yards per carry when Lovey was here. They just couldn't stop a pass, 70% completion rate.
Well, I also remember they're not all the missed tackles, which moved the chains. And then Lovey's whining about takeaways. I'm like, force a freaking punt. That's a takeaway.
Yeah, I mean, the Achilles heel was the pass defense, which was just, 70%. Like, who is who's the idiot on the Rams quarterback?
The Case Keenums of the world.
Yeah, the Case Keenums always is carving us up.
Twice, right?
Like we're garbage.
No, not twice, but two backup Rams
2 years in a row, he carved us up. But on the run support, and going back to the badass thing you talked about, no, I don't think it was so bad last year. It wasn't like the worst in the league. It was just took a step back, and it was not even average.
Lee, I'm going to go back to those two big games. I always go back to them. Dallas, New Orleans, back-to-back on the road. Elliott, who's a fantastic back, and they got a fantastic line.
Oh.
Elliott ran wild that night. Couldn't stop him.
It's interesting the perspective.
Next week, Mark Ingram had a big day, and that really helped Breeze have balance and keep the Buck defense off balance.
It's interesting to perspective. I know Ira always harps about the defense in those two particular games. I harp on the offense.
Yes, you do.
When those very same games in the fourth quarter, the Bucks totaled a grand total of 3 points in two games in two fourth quarters.
Fair point.
Both one-score games.
And the Saint defense was poor, no question about it.
Yeah, it's sort of equally I'm sort
equally
of
nauseating.
Equal culprit.
I'm down the middle on that just because having watched that Dallas game again, watched the Saints game again a couple times, Ezekiel Elliott, what did he throw for? It was like 33 of 37.
You mean Prescott.
Prescott.
32 of 36.
Yeah, they couldn't breathe on him. It was just, it was a joke. Mm-hmm. It was Lovie Smith world all over again. It just, it was just, hey, let's play pitch and catch. Terrible. But going back to the badass, the comment by Cutter, J.J. Wilcox, his reputation in Dallas, where Marinelli didn't want him anymore, which that's a bit of a red flag.
Monty Kiffin disciple.
He lost his job in Dallas as a safety. He's known for being a big, ferocious hitter who, you know, needs some refinement to his game.
And a few whiffs along the way, right, Steve?
And obviously, Justin Evans is probably the same mold of guy. Maybe this is the mold that they like. Maybe Mike Smith believes he can coach up a guy like that pretty well. He likes his staff. I don't know. But I don't think it would shock anybody if, hey, Tandy and Conte are out there on opening day and that's our safety.
You're right. It's not a, it wouldn't be a shocker.
So and it goes back to what Lee and I have written 100 times on Joe Bucks Fan. Safety is not why they didn't make the playoffs last year. And look, as we move into the rest of the defensive draft here, the Bucks approach this draft very confident in their defense. Light said it 100 times, and it played out. They drafted a safety who needs a little work. And
linebacker coming off an injury.
And they draft a linebacker who's got a blown knee, who's recovering. And they draft a seventh-round 26-year-old defensive tackle, Space Eater. Didn't address the pass rush. Now, that's a pet peeve of yours, Ira. So Bucks did not address the pass rush. We're banking on who we got. Where are you now?
I'm concerned. That's where I am if I'm a Buck fan. Lee, now, look, could Noah Spence get 10 sacks? He could. He's got to stay healthy.
Yes.
Which is a question. Mm-hmm. I like the kid.
I do, too.
You know, I think he had a good season.
Yeah, no, okay.
And he's going to play more.
Love his heart.
Love his
heart. I mean, when he played basically one arm against Carolina.
And I know Steve's going to say, hey, Cutter's calling him an animal. He's an animal. Light calls him an animal, and I understand that. He's going to get more snaps this year,
and
that's going to help. But Golston, negligible in terms of pass rush, probably not even on the field on third down.
Probably right.
Baker versus McDonald, certainly a step up from Akeem Spence. Baker versus McDonald, I think a little more dynamic pass rusher than McDonald. Mm-hmm. McCoy's still there with his 7-8 sacks. Nothing wrong with that
from
the interior. Robert Ayers, I can't count on Robert Ayers. Am I missing something here, Lee?
There's another guy that's
kind of passed him.
Well, I don't disagree. Love his passion.
Jacquees Smith coming off a big knee injury.
The two guys on this roster that I literally cannot bank on at all, anything you get from them is going to be gravy, is Jacquees Smith and Doug Martin. They're just unreliable. Here's something I'm going to throw out at you guys. I started getting this sniff a little bit about a month or so ago with the people. I always look at the roster. Who's Light adding to the roster? Who's he not adding? Chris Baker, once in a while, played defensive end in a 34 front with Washington. They went out and got this, I don't know if road grader is the right term, this behemoth from USC who can't rush the passer at all, but boy, does he scream nose tackle in a 34. Spence is a 34 outside linebacker. This Beckwith they got, I think that guy's a steal. Only reason he dropped was he had knee surgery.
But he may not contribute much as a rookie.
I don't disagree because he's coming back from the – I duly noted, you're correct. I wonder, and last year when Mike Smith was hired, he stressed – don't pigeonhole us to a 43 defense. Now, we all saw them run a 34 defense in practice, very little, if any, in the games. I'm just wondering if they're going to start flashing some 34 fronts with the guys they've added.
We're so used to four-man fronts here in Tampa. But a lot of the league plays a three-man front. Steve, the question is, do the Bucks have the personnel to make it happen? I think Mike Smith's very open to some flexibility here. It could happen. If it doesn't happen this year with Beckwith, It could happen, Beckwith next to Alexander as an inside linebacker in a 3-4. Steve, that doesn't look too bad.
Well, we'll also remember that Spence was a 34 outside linebacker.
It would be a shock to Buck fans, but it could happen.
It would be a shock to me as well. Lee's points are rock solid. I just think if you start playing more 3-4 defense, you basically completely neuter Robert Ayers, and they're banking on him big time. He is not a 34 guy.
Oh, I'm not suggesting they're even going to remotely play it 30% of the time, but sure, periodically.
Well, oh, yeah.
Yeah, periodically.
I think Mike Smith will be, open up the playbook, if you will, a little bit more in his mind with more flexibility, better communication, and use these guys to their strengths. I just don't know if more 34 fits the Bucks' strengths necessarily, but it depends who's healthy. Now, look, Ayers, I like Ayers a lot. I think he's great for this team. He played well, very well when healthy last year. But will he stay healthy? High ankle sprain cost him a chunk of the season. Turns 32. But if he's healthy, If Ayers is healthy, this defense looks a lot different. And I'm just more hopeful that Mike Smith figures out how to get the most out of Lavonne David and even more from Gerald McCoy this year. And McCoy, in his soul-searching speech the last time we saw him, McCoy, if you go back and listen to that, and he rambled for a long time, he talked about, I have to be the one to move on the defensive line more. If I see the double coverage here, well, I got a call, so I'm going to just switch it up with Baker or this guy.
Took him that long to figure this out?
He said he needs to take more of a charge of calling the line stunt or calling the change and being more responsible for that. And to me, that was him parroting somebody in his head. Like, Gerald, we need you to take more charge. You know, you don't like that double team and switch out of it, screw up the offense a little bit. We need to be more unpredictable. Mike Smith has talked a lot about never being predictable. It's going to be fun to watch. But going back to the pass rush, Ira, I'm not sure you 100% answered the question here.
Uh-oh. You're getting scolded, Custodian.
They didn't address the pass rush. So do you see this as a weakness
maybe,
of the Buccaneers?
Maybe they would say they did with adding Baker. Maybe they would use Baker as an example of tweaking the pass rush. And he is an upgrade, you know, with the rotation now with McCoy, Baker, and McDonald. That's not bad, interior. Mm-hmm. I'm more concerned off the edges. I think that's where it has to happen. And I'll give you an example, gentlemen, and I don't think you guys have thought about this, but I thought it was very interesting over the weekend. Vic Beasley, now, look, lights calling, you know, Noah Spence an animal. Vic Beasley's an animal. He came out of nowhere. You talk about not late bloomer, but he didn't do much his first year.
Rookie did virtually nothing.
Yeah, it looked like maybe a potential bust and unblockable at times last year. Even the first half of the Super Bowl, till New England figured out what to do with this guy, we better chip him or something, he was starting to take over that game. Mm-hmm. So here's my point, Mr. Isbitz. They got Vic Beasley coming off the edge. I believe he led the league in sacks. Am I wrong? I think he led it.
I don't know if he led, but what, he had 14 and a half, something like that.
Now, here's my point. Who do they take in the draft? They take another pass rusher, Atlanta. They go get another guy to relieve a little pressure off Beasley. So what I'm saying is, and Spencer's no Beasley at this point, what I'm saying is you got to have multiple guys. And you just said you can't rely on Jack Smith, even though he had two decent pass rush seasons before last year.
When he's
Ayers
healthy,
is 32, in the words of Mr. Isbitz. Great locker room guy, without question. Ayers played decent when he was healthy. Will he be healthy? I don't see enough off the edge, Lee. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
No, I mean, let's be honest.
Golston's a strong run defender. I don't see enough off the edge.
This has been a stain on this franchise for a decade, Ira. You know that as well as anyone.
Here's what we're going to talk about.
Exactly. I mean, it's ridiculous. At this point, it's ridiculous.
At least one.
You know, the Daquan Bowers, Adrian Claiborne was okay, nothing extra.
My favorite nickname that we ever gave a player, Steve, by the way, it was Sackless Kyle Moore.
So that brings me back to that DeMarcus Walker. You know, maybe he'll do nothing this year, Steve.
16,
maybe Denver made a mistake.
16 games as a Buccaneer, sackless for Kyle Moore. Oh, 16. At least walk into
maybe
one.
Maybe DeMarcus Walker, you know, will have an uneventful NFL career. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But he was a second-round pick, and I just think he would have looked very good in Pewter. That's my opinion.
Something to watch, or not to watch, but it'll be fun watching that. DeMarcus Walker. He was on Sirius XM NFL Radio. It was literally the best interview of a college athlete that I've ever heard.
No kidding.
Pre-draft,
about actually one day before the draft. He was with Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller, and they were blown away. They even kept the segment long, and they hung up, and they couldn't stop. They did the whole next segment on this guy. Basically, DeMarcus Walker was basically Jameis in a defensive end's body with a little more polish coming out of college because he played all 4 years, I believe. And, wow. I mean, just listening to him was like, how could this guy not?
I mean, how analytical he was? Or
he's a film junkie.
Energy?
Everything. I mean, he was filled with passion, but it wasn't like rah-rah stuff. And he had all the smooth answers. They're asking him about this game. He's like, well, I didn't like this and this. And he's talking about his approach to film and just his relationship with the college coaches and
Of who was interested in him at that time?
No, he didn't go there at all. Some of the players do, but just listening to him, it was just like, what a mind-blowing guy.
When I was at the podium when he spoke at the combine, and at that point, very similar, I had similar reaction to what Steve had, And I'm thinking to myself, 10, 15 years from now, this guy's going to be working for some network. He's very, very smart, very well-spoken, very thoughtful. He's an impressive guy.
Now, Lee, you and I were there Friday night while second round was unfolding. Mm-hmm. And you heard me talking about DeMarcus Walker mm-hmm. during the second round early stages. And then, you know, the Bucks take the safety, mm-hmm. You know, and the very next pick, the Broncos take DeMarcus Walker. And I just, you know, that's it. I'm not talking about DeMarcus Walker anymore on this podcast until he sacks Jameis Winston three times the next time.
One of the interesting things that came out of that interview is that apparently Walker was a track star. At his size. Now, he's like 6'4", 290, something like that.
Big dude.
And Kerwin was talking to him about playing three technique in the NFL and transferring, or is he going to play defensive end? And he was talking about how he would approach both and what he's been doing in the weight room. But when Kerwin learned that he did this, had this track ability, and he was on a 4x4 relay team at this size and other stuff, I forget what it was. No, he was running the
quarter
turn.
Mile.
It was 4x100, but he was running the turn, he wasn't just a straight shot. He was the big dude running the turn. And Kerwin's talking about his hips, and he was talking about his unique approach in the weight room. It just seemed like a phenomenal guy. We'll see. I'm sure the Bucks liked him, but they wanted their safety, and I get it because. If they believe in Noah Spence, which we know they do, you got to let the guy play. He's not going to get better.
No question about it.
He won't get better.
No. Spence has to play a lot this year.
So that's a wild card here for the Bucks because, let's face it, that run defense you guys talked about, some of that horrific run defense is on Noah Spence, who was not playing the run. They knew that. He was very green against
the run. I got a question for you two gentlemen from a defensive standpoint.
Uh-oh.
Lee, is it realistic to think that in September – coming out of training camp, Beckwith would be a serious competitor to Bond for the strong side linebacker spot coming out of training camp?
If he's healthy, he's got a legitimate shot of winning that starting job. If he's healthy, you know, he's coming off that surgery.
Can you make that quick a recovery?
People, each individual, they recover in different stages.
Saw Darrell Revis here, and I didn't say Darrell. I said Darrell. Steve, we saw Darrell Revis in a Buck uniform coming off a bad knee injury, and I think we'd all agree he was about 60% Revis that year.
And then the Bucks give up on
him. Steve, am I wrong? But every guy's different. I understand.
I give him a higher percentage than that, but he wasn't
100%.
Wasn't 100%.
Do you think Beckwith is a serious contender in 2017?
Yeah, you know, Beckwith is the guy taken at the end of the third round. The Bucks traded up to grab this guy with a blown-out knee that is recovering. It's the knee on Beckwith. Yeah, it's the knee.
It is the
knee. So it's so easy for fans to get all blown out of shape, and every draft pick's a superstar, and we're going to the Super Bowl. This is the last pick of the third round. You cannot expect that much from a last pick of the third round coming off a blown knee. I mean, come on, you know? Lavonte David stood up at the podium with a straight face and said, Devontae Bond and Adarius Glanton, who played a little bit last year, are going to battle it out for that strong side linebacker. And you hope the rookie, you know, can flash, but again, Bond was a fifth-round pick. He's been here for a year. He was hurt, but at least he's been around the system if he's healthy. You know, is it that much different than the last pick of the third round, Devontae Bond in the fifth round?
I say yes.
They'll battle it out, and probably yes.
I got a feeling Beckwith's future is in the middle of the field.
Well,
in the beginning, he'll back up Alexander, and if they go to a 3-4, or when they play a 3-4, I think he'll be right next to Alexander.
I was going
to
say Alexander. He's
entrenched. Alexander's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's entrenched. Yeah. Beckwith, I firmly believe, would have been a second-round pick had he not blown out his knee. You look at some of the highlights. You talk to some of the people.
Yeah.
So the only reason he was there when the Bucks got him was the knee. That's
right.
But so it's an interesting gamble at that point of the draft.
Oh absolutely. It's a gamble. But to your point about he had the second-round talent. He might be there in 2 years, but do I expect this guy coming off a blown knee to battle for be a starter at a training camp as a rookie?
That's a reach.
No, man. No way.
That's a reach.
No way.
I'm with you. And who's to say Bond can't get the job done? And, Lee, let's be totally honest, that position, just hasn't been an impact position on this Buck defense.
Which is
if going back years and years.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is it? 65% of the time they're off the field because in passing downs, and we're in a passing league, first guy off the field when they go to the nickel and dime packages is that strong side
linebacker.
You know,
Darryl Smith made a couple of plays. He made a couple of plays in 2016.
Carolina?
Other than that, we didn't notice him. Steve.
Well, he was solid.
He
was solid, and he wasn't a problem.
I mean, it wasn't a problem.
Any position on the field can be a problem if the guy sucks. Smith didn't suck. And, you know, hopefully they can upgrade, but we'll see.
Have they moved on from Smith? You think that's a for sure?
Yes, I think. I think he's going to be retired.
So, like, if he gets a wild hair and calls up Mike Smith, say, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to play again. I just don't want to go through training camp. They'll just say bye bye.
I didn't say that, Lee. But I think at this point he's done. He would have to make that decision already. I think
You would think he would have decided already because they weren't going to run his ass into the ground in OTAs as a 35.
I just have a hunch that some of those guys. You know, I always use, there's always the Michael Strahan analogy, but a lot of these guys, they want to play football, but they have no use for training camp. And I'm just wondering if he just like, you know, like in the middle of August, like, you know what, I'm getting the itch to play again. You interested?
Well, I had a lot of chatter with Smith, and what I always ask him was a running joke of mine. I'd see him, and probably the most talkative, best interview guy that nobody ever really talked to in the Bucks locker room very often. But I'd always ask him every week, so you have any update on retiring? And he'd always laugh.
Are you guys convinced that after one season, Mike Smith has seen enough of Levante David as a pass rusher? Because the three of us have talked about this for 5 years. Where that 1 year under Schiano, the guy was everywhere. He was a stat maniac. He showed up all over the stat sheet.
And all over the
field. I can't
remember
if it was the first year of Schiano or the second.
Yeah, both years he was very good.
And, Lee, are you convinced at this point they're going to turn Levante David loose as a blitzer?
Well, when Lovie Smith was around, I mean, that guy was so incompetent. Words fail me. But
Bill Sheridan did it.
Bill Sheridan and Schiano did it. Yeah. Now with Mike Smith, he's obviously a competent coach. I'm starting to wonder, you know, if he could do it, he'd do it. Maybe they don't think
Maybe
he can.
The idea is that David is so important in coverage, Steve. It's what he does best. Is in, you know, cover in space. Maybe they feel if you blitz him, you're taking that aspect of his game away. I don't know.
All I know is
he's a pretty darn good blitzer.
But how about this? I think you can make an argument Lovey ruined Jonathan Banks. You might be able to make an argument he ruined Altron Werner. Did he ruin Levante David?
Very interesting. Not to say that David's a bad player.
No, never was. Not exactly, but he hasn't even been close to what he was.
I think Buck fans want a little bit more, Steve.
Did he ruin Josh McCown, or is that the case before?
Don't get me going.
Steve, Buck fans want a little more out of 54. They look at him the way some of those pro bowlers looked at Gerald McCoy this year and said, a little bit more, Gerald. I don't want to speak for Buck fans, Lee, but am I speaking out of turn?
Not necessarily. No.
And, you know, fans typically, and it's hard not to, you look at Levante David, and his production has been higher, and he's being paid $10 million a year. He's being paid like a superstar. Just imagine if they can really get a superstar season out of Levante David or Gerald McCoy. Either one of them has a true superstar season, like conversation for defensive player of the year. If they get from one of those guys, just one, then, man, that could put them in deep into the playoffs.
Everything else would fall into place.
Everything else would
revolve
around that really well. So it's exciting. You know, Ira, your podcast, of course, is just brilliant. You know, I have to commend you on a brilliant podcast, your sage wisdom. A couple things I wanted to hit you with quickly, but can you give me short answers on these?
Yes, sir.
All right. John Lynch, his performance in the draft, you know, the perception that he wouldn't be able to handle this job, and how does this bode for Derek Brooks and other guys who might want that gig?
Other than Mitch Trubisky, he might have had the best line in the draft over there. Outstanding. I mean, pounces on, you know, Chicago's, you know, foolish move up from 3-2, extracts a king's ransom from the Bears. Chicago fans are up in arms.
Oh, they are.
49er fans love Lynch. Mm-hmm. And I see that Peter King was embedded with Mr. Lynch and his Monday morning quarterback. May I throw out as an aside, gentlemen, I don't want to make you guys drop the microphone, but in that Hall of Fame room, I've yet to hear Peter King talk up John Lynch. Mm. I'm still waiting for him to do it.
Yeah,
Hasn't happened.
You're thinking that he's that Lynch guy.
I did say some nice things about Mr. Brian Dawkins.
He loves Dawkins.
I'm still waiting on Lynch. I'm surprised Lynch let him, you know, let him into the draft room.
Ooh.
But he did a good job. King did a good job with all the details. great job for Lynch, first time out of the box. And, you know, I've been pushing for Derek Brooks to get a front office job. I think he's had his experience with the Storm running a franchise. It's not the NFL, but he's now cognizant of all the business aspects of pro football. Mm-hmm. Derek, you're on deck. You're next.
All right, Ira, another rapid fire. Your Chiefs. Pat Mahomes? Hey, you're a Chiefs fan? What the
Boy,
hell?
Boy, Andy Reid must think he's got all kinds of job security, Lee. Because let's be honest, Alex Smith's going to be the quarterback in 2017. Mm-hmm. He is. Mm-hmm. Mahomes not ready. There's not one guy that thinks Mahomes ready.
Not one.
So what does that mean? The Chiefs, you know, they're a perennial playoff team. They're a 10-11 win team. They can't get past New England. They didn't play well against Pittsburgh.
One or two players away from a Super
you know,
Bowl.
And then they take a guy that's a bit of a project. It tells me that Andy Reid feels he's got a lot of job security. I'll tell you in 3 years whether it was one of the worst moves in recent draft history or if Mahomes ends up being a good quarterback.
I got to squeeze in a quick question.
Go ahead, babe.
I was shocked. It didn't shock me they picked the quarterback because there were some rumblings about that. But I was shocked it was Mahomes and not Deshaun Watson. Excuse me.
I agree with you on that because Watson's a guy that maybe had a legitimate chance to compete with Alex Smith in training camp.
And
Mahomes
he's a winner.
Is not. So Mahomes is going to do nothing for the 2017 Chiefs.
You think Andy Reid said, hey, Dirk, do me a solid. Watch me 2 hours of film on Mahomes. See what you think. You know how close they are.
They're
you know
very,
that Cutter's
close.
A quarterback guru.
You know, Lee, in Phoenix, when I started asking Andy Reid about DeSean Jackson, because he coached Jackson in Philly, all he wanted to talk about was how Dirk Cutter's going to use DeSean Jackson. It all comes back to Dirk Cutter with Reid. Steve's point's right. They're very tight.
So did he ask Cutter to scout Mahomes for him? What do you think?
I don't know. I think Andy Reid is confident in his abilities to judge quarterbacks. He should be. He's been around a long time.
Nick Foles, McNabb, look at all the quarterbacks. He resurrected Vic.
He's clearly thinking. He's thinking of Mahomes in the Brett Favre mold. That's what he's thinking about. He was there when Favre started.
Yep,
and that's what he's hoping for. It is quite a reach.
Then he should have taken him in the second round.
No, Reid has worked magic with quarterbacks. If you think about it,
he has, but he hasn't worked magic with Alex Smith.
Well,
put it like
maybe
that.
He's gotten the most out of him. That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe.
It was a mind. Yeah, exactly. It was a mind blowing.
One more thing,
selection.
Steve. I want to make it quick.
There's no rush here, Ira.
I
want to
make
almost
it quick.
Done.
They didn't get a cornerback. Bucks didn't get a cornerback.
No.
I still think they're thin at defensive end. I think they're thin at corner. Well, Lions isn't going on forever.
True, but at least, you know, you had production from those guys. Defensive end, there was no production.
Mr. Isbitz, when you're in the NFC South, you're facing those gentlemen, those flamethrowers 6 times a year on a cumulative basis. You better have more than 2 corners, and I'm not sure the Bucks do.
You know what Jason Light would say? Good grief, Ira, we can't draft
can't
every
do
position
everything.
Every year.
You know what? That answer goes, that gets a little tired after a while. Steve.
I'm going to harken back to a time in Bucks history known as 2012, where the phrase E.J. Leonard, Danny, and Laquan, okay? Laquan Lewis, Danny Gorer, E.J. Biggers, Leonard Johnson, those were the cornerbacks the Bucks were reduced to after some other shenanigans. So depth at cornerback is critical. Bucks had number one run defense, one of the worst pass defenses in the history of the NFL. And right now, it was a great draft for Hey Jude, as I wrote the other day. Jude Ajay-Barima and Javian Elliott battling it out for slot
and
corner.
And Smith. You know,
Smith?
Yeah, Smith.
These guys hasn't played a snap, a cornerback.
Not
yet.
A snap.
Fourth round pick, and they thought he was a other position guy. And Josh Robinson, okay, guy they signed for depth. Guy that has a lot of experience in the league. He couldn't get a corner job. He couldn't play in front of Alteron Verner, who's still unemployed. Ex-Pro Bowler, nice guy, good athlete.
You got to have 3 or 4 corners, so, Lee. You got to have it.
Hopefully, Hargraves and Grimes, who are durable guys, can stay durable. Otherwise, I'll be watching the games with a blindfold and saying lots of prayers when Drew Brees is out there looking at Javian Elliott and Ryan Smith and just drooling. So it's a little bit scary. Real quick, Ira, the bigger picture, weapons for Winston.
Weapons for Winston.
Does this mean next year's draft, the offense is done? Are we
no.
going to go all defense? What are we looking at here?
Clearly, I think it's going to be a defensive-tilted draft. Weapons for Winston. We can't be surprised, Lee, because what did Cutter say when the season ended?
Well,
we got no speed. We can't stretch the defense. We don't have a guy who can turn a slant into a 40-yarder. Those questions have been answered. Cutter's prayers have been answered, and now I think it's up to the trenches. Lee, in my opinion, to get the job done in 2017 to get the Bucks where they want to go. It's going to be a fun year because the Bucks are going to put points up, Steve. They're going to put points on that shiny new scoreboard. They're going to have some highlights. No question.
Team should be better, and the pressure on the there's real pressure now. Real pressure on Dirk Cutter when you have to go 10-6.
Pressure on Winston.
Pressure.
You got
on
all
Winston.
Kinds of weapons.
Light, big time pressure. Big time pressure.
You know,
on
I don't
Jason
think Jameis
Lund.
Considers that pressure. I think he enjoys this.
Well, but Buck fans expect 31 touchdowns and 10 picks. That's what they expect.
Yeah, I agree with Lee. I don't think Jameis. I don't think there's a lot of pressure on. He's not going anywhere. He's embraces this stuff. He's got all the toys in the world.
But there's not going to be any more whispers that he doesn't have anybody to throw to other than
Mike Evans. That's done.
Those days are done.
Yeah. But, and I'll go back to when Jameis was in college. There was some times where ABC would have cameras in the locker room. They're like when they played at Clemson, his first year as a starter. And he's like, yeah, let's go out there. Let's have some fun. You know, almost like McCoy. And then he shredded him. So I don't think pressure gets
to
him.
They got weapons like Joe Buck's fan now has weapons, Steve. Before, all you had was DeKemper. Very solid. He's the Mike Evans.
Dangerous. He goes deep.
Now you bring Irvin. You know, you got the commish. And, you know, Rock Riley, Todd Wright. It's a stable.
Don't get carried away, Ari.
And Gil, too.
You got a 9-7 website right now, Steve. You're looking to go 11-4.
Gil's part of our team, remember.
And Gil, don't forget. That he puts you over the top.
Saturdays with Gil Arcia. All right, Ira. I'll leave you with this. And because it's kind of a freaky thought. As we head to your next podcast, which we're going to dive deeper into the draft.
And we'll talk about rookie minicamp.
We'll talk about rookie minicamp, which is this weekend. But plenty is still to talk about with the draft and in the division and some other things related to the draft and so much more to talk about. We're not done. But look at what Josh Freeman had to work with entering his third season. Look at that cast of characters. And then look at what Jameis has. It's like night and day. And it just makes you realize how badly the Glazers and Mark Domenech got it wrong in 2011 by just putting their feet up saying, we got this, we're cool, and wow. Because it's night and day for two 23-year-old quarterbacks entering their third year. It's just really stunning, and I'm glad we at least have a regime now from the top to the head coach to the GM that understands you got to get after it here.
You don't rest on 9-7.
And I think that's why the fans are so pumped up. Because they know that, hey, they're playing a win now at all costs. And, hey, if they don't win, they don't win. And they'll freak out. But this is great.
He got the attention of all the other teams, starting with the DeSean Jackson signing. Mm-hmm. Lee, that was a sign that, these guys are a force to be reckoned with.
Yes. All right, Kaufman. So, let's see. Get to have some Dubonnet.
All right, and we're about to go into rookie minicamp, and we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, no spritz?
No spritz, baby.
Give those rookies
maybe a Riesling.
Give the rookies a break, Ira. Don't mollusk on these guys.
Mollusk.
Suck the life out of them. You know, give them a break. They're young kids.
What if one of them calls me a legend? But yeah, here we go.
Well, then he'll be your focus of your new column.